Greetings, my friends, and welcome to the Paula Gordon Show, conversations with people at the leading edge. I'm Paula. What's at the heart of education? Reading, yes, and more. The love of reading, say our guests Joy Berry and Rafe Esquith. Both are hands-on practitioners and champions of public education. Mr. Esquith and his fifth grade public school students, the Hobart Shakespeareans, are internationally praised for what they accomplish every day in their inner city Los Angeles classroom. He describes it all in his book, Teach Like Your Hair's on Fire. Ms. Berry's services stretch across a lifetime, from serving young people in some of New York City's toughest schools to her national standing as a visionary member of Georgia's State Board of Education. Both of them challenge today's emphasis on testing, and both agreed there are no shortcuts. Yet, why the primacy for the love of reading?
One of the lectures I give my children is when they look at our wall of fame and they see all those names on the wall, there are all kinds of kids on that wall. There are, you know, there are jocks and there are artists and there are quiet kids. The one thing they have in common, they all love to read. It is the absolute, it's more important than all the other subjects in school put together. Agreed?
It is the foundation.
It's everything.
It's the foundation. And what I appreciated here, when you talked about reading, you said the love of reading, because that's the heart of it. Reading so often has become rote.
Oh.
There's no sense to it. There's no feeling to it.
It's
if
become
you
a subject.
Can get from this page something that you can internalize, beginning to love this.
Rafe Esquith has taught fifth grade in the Hobart Elementary School in his native Los Angeles for more than 20 years. He's written two books describing how his Hobart Shakespeareans enhance their English by performing the plays of Shakespeare in their classroom and on tour. Among his many honors, he's the only teacher ever to receive America's National Medal of Arts, and Queen Elizabeth made him a member of the British Empire. Joy Berry was first a classroom teacher, then a principal in her native New York City. Retiring to Atlanta, she was an education specialist in Georgia's Office of Planning and Budget. One governor appointed her to create and lead the state's Commission on Human Relations. Another governor appointed her to the state school board, and a third governor reappointed her. Since I, too, am passionate about public education and reading, and I recognize great teachers when I see them, I knew we were all in for a treat when the three of us sat down together.
Rafe Esquith, we currently have kind of a batch of new babies in our extended family, friends, relatives, the extended family. And it's given me the opportunity to do what may be the most fun of all, which is to do my same and different game. The babies are all pretty small, and they all are just freshly cooked, and they're just out of the oven, and all of this. And they're so different. And I was thinking about that, especially as I think about what you start each year, and each day, and each moment, the same and the different. That must be immensely exciting.
It's very exciting, and I think one of the problems we're having in schools today is where all the children have to be exactly the same. And clearly they're not. So the idea that all children will be reading exactly the same book at exactly the same age, at exactly the same pace, is absurd. I think one of the reasons the kids flourish in my classroom is they are treated and respected as individuals, because they are.
When you live in a country like the United States that makes all this fuss about individualism, and then we go back to the factory model and try to stamp them out,
Yes. Isn't
there a disconnect here?
We call it the mixed message. You know, I always counsel young teachers, you can't scream at children to be nice. Okay, that's the mixed message. And we, you know, we say that we celebrate diversity, but clearly in the schools often we don't. When the children are constantly told you can't sing this song or you can't speak this way, or, you can't, well, we're not celebrating diversity. So we try to have a clearer message in my classroom, a consistent message, which makes the kids feel safe to be themselves.
You talk about the culture of the classroom. Is that what this is about, establishing the ground in which little seeds will flower?
It is everything that it's about. We have 1,000 visitors a year to my classroom. Yes, they're impressed that the kids are bright. Yes, they're impressed that they're, you know, going on to great colleges. But what impresses them the most is there is a civility in my classroom. There's a genuine kindness and an honesty that is not a part of the great landscape that these kids are growing up in. And I think that's the challenge to all teachers.
And that's not because these kids are growing up in the hood. It's because they're growing up in the world.
They're growing up in a bigger world. And part of the reason that my class is successful is the kids are exposed to that bigger world, where they're working not because there's a test on Friday, but they're learning skills that they know will help them in the world.
Joy Berry, it is my great pleasure to have you in this conversation as well, and I know that you will jump into it as you see fit. I want to add to this notion of culture. You have had so much experience as a teacher, as an administrator, as a school board member, state school board, and all over the country, and you're beloved by PTAs. Isn't this culture notion central to everything we're talking about?
It is absolutely central, and I want to say just thank you so much for bringing it to the fore. Too often we believe that if we give teachers professional development, staff development, that they will understand what happens or what should happen in the classroom. What you have said is that the very beginning is a culture that is conducive to teaching and learning. They both can occur in the classroom, and that quality emerges from that.
Absolutely. And one of the reasons I've been able to develop that culture is I watched other great teachers. And one of the problems that's happening in teaching today in a lot of schools, where it's become so isolated, the teachers are in their little boxes, and they might go to a professional development meeting, but they're not really seeing what needs to be seen. In most jobs, you learn the best by being on the job. Nurses learn on the floor, for example. And I've got many of my great ideas by watching great teachers. And there are so many great teachers. And I'm lucky. I'm in the paper and on television. But there are teachers out there as every bit as good as I am that no one's heard of. And I wish we could find a way to get young teachers to observe them so that they can create the magic in their classrooms that I have in Room 56.
Mm-hmm. Rafe Esquith tells us all about Room 56 and about the Hobart Shakespeareans, as he writes so eloquently in Teach Like Your Hair's on Fire. Joy Berry, Rafe Esquith, and I, Paula Gordon, will all be back in just a moment.